Africa of the future. Africa of the future. It is Tuesday, the 24th of May, 2022. It is after 8 a.m. Central African Time. Hello and welcome to Africa of the Future here on Channel Africa, where we continue to give you news, views and interviews from an African perspective. This is a program aimed at interrogating how this glorious continent is faring in achieving the objectives set out in the African Union's Agenda 2063. My name is Luyanda Maume and I'm your host. We have a great show lined up for you today, and remember, you can find us online on www.channelafrica.co.za, on channel 802 on the DSTV audio bouquet, and you can also find us on channel 628 on OpenView. If you want to keep in touch with us, you can do so via WhatsApp. It's +27 63 406 9126, and on Twitter it's @channelafrica1.
Africa of the future. Africa of the future.
Today on the show, we look back at the Africa Mining Indaba hosted in South Africa's city of Cape Town, with a special focus on the need for the mining industry to innovate to ensure continuity, safety and productivity. But first, let's take you across the continent to remind you of stories you may have missed. The United Nations Security Council must renew its arms embargo on the territory of South Sudan amid the state's failure to ensure accountability for conflict-related sexual violence and to protect survivors, witnesses and judicial actors. This is according to Amnesty International in a new report. Listen to Amnesty International's Director for East and Southern Africa, Depros Muchena.
This is a grim report which reflects a terrible development in South Sudan, where more than 7 years after the government of South Sudan and its main armed opposition group, the Sudan People's Liberation Army in opposition, first committed to addressing this problem of CRSV, the conflict-related violence, we still found out through our report that conflict-related sexual violence is largely left unaddressed, that perpetrators of conflict-related sexual violence are unpunished, and that survivors are just faced without any kind of redress. The action plan for the armed forces on addressing conflict-related sexual violence, which was adopted last year in January 2021 as the master plan for defeating this problem, is insufficiently being implemented. Accountability and protection of survivors were the two or six pillars of the plan. We found that the two pillars of the plan are largely unattended to. So as a result, prosecution of suspects of this violence remain the exception rather than the norm. Impunity actually is the norm. Survivors, witnesses, judicial actors, as well as civil society members working in conflict-related sexual violence are unprotected and are exposed to threats and harassment by suspected perpetrators.
More than 8,000 delegates from all parts of the world have been attending the 9th AfriCities Summit in Nairobi in Kenya. The five-day meeting sought to reflect on the role of intermediary cities in Africa in the implementation of the United Nations 2030 Agenda and of the African Union's Agenda 2063. Listen to Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta.
Terrorism, corruption, drug trafficking, money laundering, counterfeiting and smuggling, and offenses against wildlife. Criminal justice systems across the region must adopt a proactive approach to identifying, tracing, freezing, as well as confiscating funds and proceeds of crime, and to remove the financial incentive and monetary benefits of crime. This will ensure our success. Available estimates by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime indicate that annually, illicit revenues and proceeds of crime equal more than $2 trillion globally. Africa itself loses roughly $88.8 billion in illegal financial flows, equivalent to 3.7% of our continent's GDP.
And finally, South Africa's Department of Communications and Digital Technologies has been widely criticized for its failure to migrate the country from analog to digital broadcasting on time. Opposition parties have pointed to the many missed deadlines, including the last one imposed by the department itself of the 31st of March this year. Minister Khumbudzo Ntshavheni has, however, assured the country that the digital migration will be completed by the end of June.
We have concluded analog switch off in five provinces, being Free State, Northern Cape, Northwest, Mpumalanga and Limpopo. In the five provinces where analog has been switched off, we have concluded rearranging spectrum or restaking, thereby giving way for the spectrum to be assigned for future technologies and by ICASA to the mobile operators from the 1st of July 2022, in line with the outcomes of the recent spectrum auction.
Those are some of the stories you may have missed across the continent, and we'll take a short break, and on the other side of that we speak to our guest. Stay tuned to Channel Africa from an African perspective. This is Africa of the Future. Stay with us. We're back after this.
Agriculture is not only for the retired, neither is it for the feeble. It is the backbone of African development. Join me, Sydney Katungapiri, every Wednesday from 9:05 to 9:45 a.m. Central African Time for your developmental stories on African agriculture. Agro Africa on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Change Your Game is a weekly entrepreneurial program that targets entrepreneurs, especially youth, on the African continent.
Last year, Google named me as one of the brightest young minds in the world.
The program seeks to portray various opportunities and options that are available for entrepreneurs.
I came up with the way for the world not to bosh.
It focuses and highlights real issues concerning entrepreneurship.
There are so many people whose potential is still untapped.
At Change Your Game, we believe entrepreneurs are the key drivers of tomorrow's African innovations and essential to creating a thriving African economy. Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Have you ever asked yourself, what on earth am I here for?
When God placed his image in us, he placed a sense of eternity within us.
What is my purpose in life?
I was made for greatness. I just don't know what it is yet, but I was made for greatness.
Life by Design explores the journey of people from around the continent who live a life of purpose. They share their experience on how they discovered what they were meant to do. Join me, Amanda Machaga, every Monday at 8:05 Central African Time for your weekly dose of Monday motivation. Only on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
Life by Design. Be the architect of your life.
Africa of the future.
Africa of the future.
Welcome back to Africa of the Future, where we continue to give you news, views and interviews from an African perspective. This is a show that is aiming to interrogate how this glorious continent is faring in achieving the AU's goals for 2063. And my name is Luyanda Maume. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, the mining sector recently met in Cape Town for the Africa Mining Indaba to take stock really on how the industry has performed recently and how it can innovate to remain on the cutting edge of new ways of operating. Now, technology was largely identified as one of the major ways in which the industry can remain efficient and productive. Joining us on the line to talk more about this, we are joined by Chief Technology Officer at Altron Nexus, that is Mr. Imare Ayire. Welcome to Africa of the Future, sir.
Thank you, Leander. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, talk to us about the concept of molding the technological revolution for a radical transformation in the mining industry.
Thank you. Thanks for that. So really, you know, we're just using that header to give a view around the real impact of technology and specifically digital technology within the mining industry today and going forward. You can see the world around us is getting more complicated, and some of these complexities have very direct impacts within the mining industry. There's a number of trends that you see really affecting the industry. You know, things like a shift in global demand. You know, resources being less accessible and more difficult to reach, a skills gap that just refuses to close, you know, things like the regulatory and the social mandates, you know. So it's an industry in constant flux and fluidity. So, you know, it leads to a need for incredible agility. You know, the mining industry needs to, while ensuring its mandates on safety, on productivity, you know, sustainability, also needs to do these in an agile manner. And we're saying that the technological tools, the digital enablers available today, are what's needed to enable the industry to operate at this new level going forward.
Mm. Now, the mining industry, like all the other industries, was impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly in the past 2 years, but was still able to realize a growth of 11.8% in 2021. What can this be attributed to, this growth?
Yeah, that's a good question. The growth rate in that industry was groundbreaking under the circumstance. I think you know, a lot of industries went in the negative or could barely break even. And look, the pandemic was quite an unfortunate time. A lot of losses in lives, losses in livelihoods. But what it did, though, was it unlocked an incredible amount of innovation. So the losses in initial losses in productivity very quickly started to turn around with innovative ways to overcome that. So first of all, just that ability to very quickly connect users, workers in disparate areas, etc., you know, managing the frictions around social distancing, limited access, you know, constrained production. In effect, you know, this pandemic triggered a global proof of concept, if I can put it that way, where the various technologies that were already available just started to be used in much more scale and innovative ways. In fact, there's this saying I tend to use from The Economist, Milton Friedman, you know, where he says, only a crisis actually produces real change. You know, the actions that are taken generally depend on the ideas that are lying around. You know, the point there is, these digital enablers, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, cloud compute, IoT, etc., have been available. But I think it was really about the uptake, and it took a pandemic of this sort to start to, you know, just allow us all globally to test the waters. And I think, if anything, it's proven in the rates of growth and in the resilience of the industry to have been successful. So I believe it was really around rallying around and the various, you know, IT executives and the various teams rallying around to make use of those technologies that have been available going forward.
Mining has often been seen as one of those, you know, human capital intensive industries. How does it then ensure that it keeps up with the technological aspect of innovating while also, you know, allaying the fears about you know, job losses and by governments and the people who are working in the industry?
Yes. Now that issue is very specific to the South African and the African environment, and it's a good question. We've had a number of discussions and roundtables with CIOs, etc., around that. You know, these technological tools are not there to necessarily take away jobs. And I know that has been a concern, and it's been raised in numerous forums. You know, it's really about operating at the next level. Now, the use of these enablers, are really there to drive safety, for example, for the very same workforce that we're referring to. But it also drives productivity. So where we're producing at another level, if anything, there's an element of additional job growth to be unlocked by the use of these various tools. So, you know, we within this space are very cognizant of the needs to retain jobs and livelihoods, especially in our context in Africa. So we tend to focus on the solutions that are more around enhancing safety, enhancing productivity and sustainability. So even automation and robotic tools are not to take away the jobs necessarily, like I say. It's more around allowing the same workers a more conducive environment to operate in. So this is an aspect we're always looking at. And so far, I think most of our responses to those questions and engagements with the various IT execs has been promising, where they do see that this is not necessarily reducing the jobs, but providing them an environment that allows the same workers and more workers to operate it.
Now, when we talk technology in the context of South Africa and indeed the African continent as a whole, you often look at the picture of the fact that when you talk of a miner in the areas I've spoken about, you're talking about somebody who's got very, very limited amount of skills in terms of technologically, who's often got very, very, you know, limited amount of formal education, as it were. How do you then make sure that with your innovations, you bring along these people that are working for you to ensure that they are able to operate this heavy technology or heavy machinery that comes with these new innovations in the industry?
You know, when packaging these solutions, there's a whole aspect that's considered referring to user interface, user experience. And that takes a lot of time and effort to ensure that the interface is as tactile or as natural, you know, as possible. So there's an entire science around making this technology still have a feel and a natural interface as far as possible. So remote control centers, which is one of our offerings, is meant to look and feel very much like you were in the various vehicles that are now being operated remotely. So a driver of these vehicles, etc., is very comfortable in that space, even though he could be a kilometer away from the harsh environments that we would be trying to avoid. So a lot of time and effort is spent in trying to replicate the look and feel. So within Ultra Nexus, for example, our focus really within the mining environment is on the mission-critical communication networks, right? And we consider everything from the applications to the computing platforms, the connectivity, the devices. So just around those devices and applications specifically, you know, there's constant checks and constant tests to ensure, again, that natural interface and avoiding excessive change. So there's radio devices. We try to maintain the look and feel over a long period of time, even though the underlying technology has changed dramatically. So in fact, recently we did an Africa first delivery of a solution that used to run on a narrowband network, the Tetra DMR networks that the mines are used to, but now operates over a mobile broadband network. But the device that the users are running is exactly the same look and feel, and we take time to ensure that our partners take time to ensure that. So that's how we try to manage the usability and don't alienate the users as the technology moves forward.
I want us to take a short break, and on the other side of that, we continue with our conversation. Remember, you're still with Africa of the Future here on Channel Africa, where we continue to give you news, views, and interviews from an African perspective. If you want to keep in touch with us, you can do so via WhatsApp. It's +27634069126. On Twitter, it's @ChannelAfrica1. You can also check out our Facebook page. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to this life-changing experience. We move a way of no return from seven wonders of the world to the summit of Kilimanjaro. From the statue of Nelson Mandela to the African Renaissance Monument, we break all the boundaries. From the greatest archives of Timbuktu to the deepest oceans and rivers of Africa, we reveal the mysteries. We're asking life's biggest questions. We rule the world of esoteric knowledge, from ancient Egypt to fourth industrial revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, Masterclass Africa, Sir Max,
the knowledge premier.
Vision 2030 radio show, only on Channel Africa, is an educational talk show designed from an African perspective to give South Africans an opportunity to take on key leadership roles in understanding, promoting, and supporting the South African government's National Development Plan, which is the domestication of the United Nations 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Catch the Vision 2030 show every Tuesday morning between 10 and 11 a.m. only on Channel Africa, DSTV Channel 802 and Open View Radio number 628. Vision 2030. Your plan, your future.
Gateway to Africa is our entertaining and educational tourism, travel and business show. Join us every Wednesday at 10 hours Central African time as we explore the tourism landscape in Africa. Make a date with Gateway to Africa every Wednesday at 10 hours Central African time.
Africa of the future.
Africa of the future.
On the line, we are joined by Chief Technology Officer at Altron Nexus, Ehimare Aire. Now, Ehimare, welcome back as we continue with our conversation. Now, talk us through some of the technologies and how they maximize productivity while ensuring that there is greater safety for workers and everyone in the industry.
So this is something we talk about, we engage with the market around quite a bit. There's a whole number of scenarios. And we really like to touch on the benefits. And we always refer to three benefits in particular. We refer to safety, you know, we refer to productivity and to sustainability. Now, just as an example, you know, where our critical communication solutions are operating within a mine. Say there was an accident, one of the large vehicles was to turn over or collapse, as they could do in such rugged environments. The driver and the users are able to immediately contact the command center using our radio devices, whether narrowband or broadband, and to deliver an alarm message to the command center, right? And these also automatically can start streaming video to the command center, so they see the situation on the ground. And this command center could be many kilometers away. Then emergency beacons can be sent to the rest of the mine, advising of various things. You know, this is the situation at this point. These are the staff involved. These are the vehicles involved. And start to send rescue teams across. And these are all being delivered and managed and monitored through these critical communication solutions that I'm referring to. Now, at the same time, many smart decisions are being made, you know, whether we increase production on the one side to make up for the loss of production on the other, while the rescue teams are doing what they need to do
And all of that information is being collated and crunched and managed in real time and with various analytic and in some cases, artificial intelligence platforms, you know, operating at the back end. So you can see how that scenario I just played out enhances safety for the user. So they're constantly connected, they're constantly in touch with the control center. Command teams can go through quickly, or rescue teams, and productivity as well. So you can adjust the various schedules to make up for the loss. And I think you know the mines are very sensitive to production output, and one can continue to maintain that. There's also sustainability at play here, you know, in terms of how much usage, how much resources are being used across these. And by resources, I mean human resources, fuel, et cetera. All these aspects can be managed just by having a very robust mission-critical communications network. In fact, there was a recent study, I think within this year still, that gave a very nice lay of what I've just referred to. And it's from one of the big names in mining vehicles. And they just showed that just by updating or upgrading the underlying networks, wireless networks that the mines are operating with, they were able to show an increased output production of over 200,000 tons in a year. And this was all around reducing communication errors, communication downtime, by having the right mission-critical communications network. So that shows real tangible outcomes from having the right network in the mine.
Now, South Africa has a very, you know, strict labor regulation regime in terms of ensuring that workers are protected at all costs, while, of course, protecting the employers, as it were, in terms of them ensuring that they get return on the investment that they've made. But how much of this labor regulation regime has it been an impediment to innovation in the industry?
Yeah, that's an issue we cannot ignore. There is no doubt that as we continue to move forward with our partners and our customers in the mining industry on their digital transformation journey, we always have to consider the regulatory regime, the unions, and their own mandates as well. So it does have its impact. It does add to the time and potential and the effort of rolling out some of these solutions, but that cannot be ignored. And I think the point I was making earlier around, you know, realizing that many of these solutions are actually more productivity enhancing and potentially number of jobs enhancing, that message always needs to keep going out there. And our customers also come through to engage around how that messaging can come right. Now, in our space, we focus, like I said, very much on mission critical communication networks, right? We tend not to go too much into the automation aspect. So the focus tends to be around ensuring user safety. Now, and most of it maps to the regulatory and labor law requirements. Yes.
Earlier on in my introduction, I alluded to the fact that the Africa Mining Indaba met to take stock and share notes on the best practices. Now, can you share with us some of the case studies that you found interesting that you may have come across from some other countries that perhaps are doing it a little bit better than most of us are doing it?
Yes. This the mining in Indaba this year was actually very exciting. It was quite vibrant. I think everyone was excited about being able to get together again in person and meet and engage with their colleagues and with the rest of the industry. A major thing I found interesting is there is quite a bit of digital technology companies and communications companies making their presence felt, more so than in the past, as I was led to believe. So we had some of the major telecoms OEMs in there. We had some of the enterprise mobile operators in there as well. So the point now being that the need for the understanding of how much of an impact digital connectivity technology will make and is making in the industry is very clear. So one of our big partners, Huawei, made quite a presence in there, and they made quite a show of a lot of the mining solutions that they have developed and delivered, mainly in China and in certain other parts of the world. And you really get to see the potential of what we will be able to do here in South Africa and in Africa. There's quite a bit of remote control, if I can put it that way. There's a lot of remote control, unmanned vehicles, robotics. The use of Internet of Things is very impressive. The use of artificial intelligence, video analytics, it's quite a game changer. So really, it gave the mining industry a lot of food for thought. One of our own case studies, and it's really taking on and using our partners also, has been packaging. There's a scenario where the mine says, look, we need a safer mine. You know, we need to improve the communications. We need to be able to track our people, track our assets, you know, and just overall improve productivity. We've been able to package a single underlying robust network that covers their communications, the Internet of Things, automation, and provide this enhanced management wrapper, which is very cutting edge. This is exactly the technology being used everywhere else in the world, and we're now able to provide those solutions through our partners. And a lot of that was being showcased at the Indaba this year.
I want us to take another break, and on the other side of that, we wrap up our conversation with Paul and Victor. Stay tuned to Channel Africa as we continue to give you views, news, and interviews from an African perspective.
Africa, this is Pule Molebatsi, the host for the Albinism Report. Remember to tune into the show every Monday morning at 9:05 to 9:45 a.m. and again in the evening at 11:15 to 11 p.m. The Albinism Report, an enlightened narrative.
Africa of the future.
Africa of the future.
Welcome back. We are at the latter end of our conversation with Chief Technology Officer at Altron Nexus. That is Ehimare Ayire. Now, with the world constantly looking for more environmentally friendly ways of doing business, how do you see the future of mining in the world in general?
You know, the mining industry, I think, generally gets a bad rap. I think it gets seen as one of the sources of environmental pollution, etc. In many cases, and I just, it was an interesting discussion the other day. It's actually the users of these resources that cause the pollution. Just by the way, but when we look at the renewable space. The use of natural sources to generate electricity, etc. You know, these resources still need to be, or this energy still needs to be stored in batteries, just as an example. And those batteries are still made from the minerals that are sourced from the mines. So it's not so much
the mining industry of concern. It's more improved usage of these various resources, and that is our view. Obviously there's those way more qualified to get into that aspect than I am, right? But we see an industry that cleans up its image. You know, these organizations all have the so-called ESG mandates, you know, environmental, social, governance mandates. They need to adhere to safety, productivity, sustainability requirements. Over the next, call it the mid to longer term, we expect to see, using these various technologies, a major cleaning up of the image, especially around environmental sustainability, but there's also social and economic sustainability. And this, for me, is where the excitement comes in terms of the return on investment, and not just financial investment, or not just financial return. I imagine would be quite an impact in using in the right way these digital technologies that clean up the overall image of the industry and the outputs, while still maintaining productivity, which I feel will increase and will need to increase to deliver on the rate of growth globally.
Mr. Ayre, this has been quite a fascinating conversation to have with you, and I would love to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us here on Africa of the Future.
Thank you very much, Leander. I appreciate the time.
Africa of the Future. Africa of the Future.
That is Chief Technology Officer at Altron Nexus, Ehimare Ayire, and that's how we come to the end of this week's edition of Africa of the Future. We will be back again with another edition of the show next week. Your Econ and Sport is up next. Stay tuned for that and more here on Channel Africa, where we continue to broadcast from an African perspective. Until next time, my name is Luyanda Maume, and I'm out.
Loving your body, baby, as you're whining your body, baby. So great.